In the early 1900s, early hominid remains were being discovered, and we were beginning to piece together the story of our evolution. There were still questions of when our human ancestors diverged from our ape ancestors, until one fateful discovery. Could the missing link have been discovered in England?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Odd Anthropology. I am Ivy Boyd.
And I am Tayshia Koster.
And Tayshia, you have a pretty juicy story for us today, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, the story is very juicy. I just hope that I do it justice.
I am sure you will. I know a little bit about it. You mentioned it to me a while back, and I was like, oh, I haven't heard of this story. And I gave it a brief Google, but as soon as we talked about starting a podcast, I was like, okay, I need to pump the brakes, and I want this all to be a surprise. So I'm very excited.
All right. Well, we should dive in then. So our story begins in 1907. Remains were found that dated back to 200,000 to 600,000 years, putting Germany and Homo heidelbergensis on the human evolution map. By this time, the species of Homo neanderthalensis, Homo erectus, and early Homo sapiens had been discovered. Homo heidelbergensis is now recognized as a likely common ancestor to both modern humans and Neanderthals, making it the oldest human-like ancestor found at the time. In 1912, another discovery was made that appeared to offer a new link in the human evolution chain. Our main player is Charles Dawson.
Ooh.
He was an amateur geologist, archaeologist, and historian living in Sussex, England. He kept company with, I wanted to put a note here of like actual anthropologists and geologists, but having a degree doesn't make you an actual anything, so.
Yeah, especially this is like, what, early 1900s, so.
Yeah, he considered himself an amateur, and we're going to find out that, you know, he changed the course of anthropology and history a little bit, so.
Yeah.
It seems like more than just an amateur.
Yeah, just a little bit, to leave such a mark, I guess, but.
But so he kept company with geologists and anthropologists and frequently attended meetings of the Geological Society in London. Supposedly, a local laborer found a bone fragment while working in Piltdown Village, and he brought it to Charles Dawson, knowing that he had interests in these types of things. So Dawson felt that the bone was part of a skull and decided it was possibly even human. So he continued to dig and search in the area where the bone was found. With the help of Dr. Arthur Smith Woodward, the keeper of geology at the Natural History Museum, which I don't really know what that means, but...
Keeper of geology? This sounds like
Hogwarts.
Yeah, like ancient, long-held title.
Right.
Passed down through generations.
I don't know what he had to do to get that title, but...
Yeah.
That is a title. With the help of Dr. Arthur Smith Woodward, the keeper of geology at the Natural History Museum, Charles Dawson discovered more skull fragments, a jawbone with a few teeth still attached, and a few primitive tools. Dr. Smith Woodward was able to create a reconstruction of the full skull based on the skull fragments and the jaw piece found. Dawson could see that the brain case of the skull, so like the back part where our brain sits, was very large, more like a modern human, but the jaw appeared to be more ape-like. So he knew enough to know that this had to be an old human and ape ancestor. Himself and Dr. Smith Woodward figured the bones had to be around 500,000 years old. When they presented their findings at the to the Geological Society, it was agreed that Eanthropus Dawsoni was the missing link between apes and humans.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
Zay, did you catch the name there? He named it after himself.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit vain, but I mean, who's to say I wouldn't do the same thing, you know? Gotta have a legacy, right?
This is true. So it was an incredible find, especially for such a huge piece of human evolution puzzle to be found in England.
Yeah, and to be like, I'm the one that found it, or most of it, because he said it was fragments that they kind of
pieced together. Just skull fragments, a bit of a jaw. It sounds like, they went back and found a few more little fragments, pieces of bones, but not like a full skeleton was found.
Not my composite skeletons from the last episode.
No, yeah. Not quite that much. This person or skeleton was not cared for quite as well.
Too bad. But continue.
So Eoanthropus dawsoni was accepted as a human ancestor for quite some time. But when new dating technologies came about and the fragments were re-examined, some questions were raised about the authenticity of Piltdown Man.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Over the decades, other early hominid species were found in Africa, China, and Indonesia. This follows what we know of the early beginnings of humans. So such an early ancestor in England was raising questions.
Yeah.
In 1953, fluorine testing was a new way to determine the age of bones. So by determining the amount of fluorine found in bones, scientists could determine how long the bone was in the ground. The longer a bone is in the ground, the more fluorine it absorbs from the groundwater in the soil.
Oh, that's cool. I had not heard of that.
Yeah. So Dr. Kenneth Oakley, a geologist and the originator of the fluorine testing, used this testing on the bone fragments found in Piltdown. He was able to determine that the bones were not 500,000 years old and were not even all the same age.
Well, honest mistake, maybe?
And just a quick little note. I'm about to say something and it's somebody's name, so please remember that and only giggle a little bit.
Uh-oh, okay.
So Dr. Oakley was joined by Dr. Joseph Weiner, bioanthropologist.
Okay, but oh my god, if I could like have married a man with the last name Weiner, if my husband's last name was Weiner, that would have like sold me even more. I would have changed my last name.
Oh. All right, giggle break done. We're serious again. So he is a bioanthropologist and human anatomist, Wilfred Le Gros Clark.
Okay. It's no Wiener, but okay.
No, and I'm not sure on that. That might be mispronounced. And I mean, to be fair, Wiener might be like German. It might be Wiener or, you know.
Is there an IE or an EI or is it
TI? EI.
Okay, so it could be Weiner.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes it's Vi. Who knows? I like Wiener.
The problem of reading. You know, you read what you know and you read it in your head as what you know, so you don't always say things correctly. So I do apologize to any of these people, even if they're dead. I apologize that I am mispronouncing their names. But so, Dr. Oakley was joined by Dr. Joseph Weiner, a bioanthropologist and human anatomist, Wilfried Le Gros Clark, to further dissect this once groundbreaking find. Using their expertise, Dr. Weiner and Le Gros Clark determined that the skull fragments and jaw piece were from two different individuals. Not only that, but the jaw wasn't even human.
Oh.
It was from an ape.
How'd that get there?
They also found that most of the objects found at Piltdown were stained chemically in order to appear older, as though they were stained by the local soil. So, Eoanthropus dawsoni, the Piltdown Man, had been a hoax.
They really tried too. They're like, I gotta stain these bones. We're gonna make them look the same. Call me crazy. I don't think apes are just running around out there in the wild. So
right. So Charles Dawson died in 1916, and Until this point in 1953, his discovery at Piltdown was accepted as fact and part of our human evolution. He died believing his find had added England to the story of humanity. He would have been 89 at the time that the hoax was uncovered. And so I'm curious, if he had been alive, I wonder what he would have said.
Yeah, would he just been like, oh, the jig is up?
Oh, you got me.
Yeah, you got me. Oops, he was just playing a little joke. He's just joshing around.
One of the greatest things about anthropology is that we're always discovering new finds that change what we know. Our story is always expanding, living alongside with us. So as we learn new technologies and tests, we can look back on older findings to gain new insights on what we thought we had already known. This is what happened in 2009. Isabel de Groot, a paleoanthropologist, began applying new modern testing to the Piltdown bones. She was able to confirm that the jaw was actually from an orangutan, and the teeth had scratch marks on them that they were able to confirm were like filings to make the teeth appear more human.
Okay.
So you said he really went all out on this.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So this wasn't a whoopsie, like this part of a ape bone happened to be near this skull and oops, I thought they belonged together.
Yeah. Yeah. The pieces are pointing not that direction.
Uh-huh.
She also determined that while the human bones found were thicker than modern bones, and that's usually a quality found in older hominid bones, they were determined to still be within modern human variation. So one of my favorite ways to explain what this means was told to me by one of my favorite professors in college. And basically, think about how it would look if Danny DeVito was buried next to Shaq.
Okay.
Future anthropologists might think that the skeletons found were from two different species.
Yeah.
But we know that there can be a like wide variety of differentiation between humans. Mm-hmm. You know, we all look different. And so that's human variation.
That just made me think that, you know, someday we're going to lose Danny DeVito, RAP. And so what a sad thought.
Yeah, sorry to make everybody sad and didn't mean to bring you down. Yeah. Just that extreme variation was like, it stood out to me as like, oh yeah, that definitely makes sense. Of course, yeah, if you found those two bones next to each other, you'd be like, wow, what happened here? Like,
yeah.
So De Groot, she found that there was also a putty over pretty much all of the bones. And in the hollows of any bones, if there were cracks or anything, that any parts that were hollow, they were filled with tiny pebbles. And De Groot believes that this was done to add weight to the bones to make them to appear to be from an older hominid. So again, thicker, heavier bones are usually associated and qualities found in older hominid ancestors.
Wow. They really thought of everything for this, I guess. That's, I guess that's why it worked. Why people were fooled for so long.
So the Piltdown Man is definitely a hoax. While scientists are still not sure if Charles Dawson acted alone or if he acted with others to create this hoax, they do agree no missing link between apes and early hominids was found in England. Mm. So why might Charles have created such a hoax in the first place?
Oh, I'm going to guess not good reasons.
Yeah, I kind of had to stop myself from really going too hard into the, like, colonizer empire-ness of England, because if we ever get any English listeners, I don't want them to not like us.
I mean, listen, the state of things in America right now, like, they don't like a lot of us either.
Oh yeah. Anybody listening outside, sorry.
Help. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so why might he have done this? As I had mentioned at the beginning of this episode, Dawson saw himself as an amateur geologist, archaeologist, and historian. He wanted to fit in and be a part of the science community, but also be taken seriously. Would you be surprised to know that the Piltdown Man is not Charles Dawson's only forgery?
Oh, well, okay, I guess that makes sense.
Nothing as big as this.
Yeah.
Fossils that I wouldn't be surprised if I couldn't really find anything specific, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, oh, Charles Dawson has a fossil of a unicorn.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
That's like the route that it seemed like he was going.
He wanted the notoriety and he would do it at all costs.
Yes, yes. And I mean, and over the years he had found many important fossils that earned him the title of honorary collector in the Natural History Museum. He did get what he wanted in a way, and he did go down in history, but not maybe in the way he really wanted.
Yeah.
In his search for notoriety and fame, Charles Dawson created one of the biggest hoaxes in history. And I think it's important that we do still talk about it today, even though it's not like that Eoanthropus Dawsoni is not actually a part of our...
us.
Human evolution, sorry. Yeah, brain just stopped working there for a second. So I have a quote from Isabel de Groot that I think is a good note to end the story on. She said, "Piltdown Man sets a good example of the need for us to take a step back and look at the evidence for what it is, not for whether it conforms to our preconceived notions." And so that is the story of the Piltdown Man.
All right.
And Charles Dawson and how he fooled basically the entire world.
Yeah, for decades?
Yeah. Yeah, basically from 1912 until 1953.
Always be a wee bit skeptical. Anyways, that was a little wild ride with the Piltdown Man.
Yes. So you won't see that in the history books in the coming...
It in the books past, what, like the 1950s, I guess? Wait, when was it exposed again as a hoax?
1953.
Okay, so don't trust your human evolution books pre-1953, I guess. You know, because I know everyone listening has a huge pre-1953 collection of...
Well, yeah, I mean, I know I do, and you do, so...
Oh, of course, yeah, let me go to my library that I definitely have in my tiny little Seattle apartment.
Well, you pull the lever, and then it goes down into the cellar.
And then it spins. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And the lever is actually disguised as another book on a bookshelf.
Yes, smaller bookshelf that looks very unassuming, and then you pull the book, and then you get to go down into the very esoteric and dark library.
Yeah, where, like, if you open a book, there's a good chance, like, you're going to release an ancient curse or something.
Yeah.
This is us just daydreaming now about our house goals. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Let us know what you think about the Piltdown Man. And please don't commit archaeological hoaxes. Although, if you try, I imagine that's really hard to get away with these days. With all the testing we have. I mean, good luck, I guess, but...
yes, I do have all of my sources down in the show notes. If you have any questions on anything or want to look at anything deeper, it's always recommended, check out the sources and do your own research as well. And if you find anything else cool, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. And be sure to subscribe or follow wherever you're listening. Bestow, ideally, 5 stars upon us. Leave a review. Funny reviews get bonus points, just putting that out there. And you can follow us on our social medias, which will also be linked below in the show notes. And let us know if there is something in the realm of archaeology, anthropology, weird folklore, anything you want us to talk about, and give us some ideas.
Yeah.
And thank you for listening. And until next time,
bye.
Bye. Congratulations, you've made it to the very end of the episode. Enjoy some of this episode's bloopers as your reward.
I wish I would stop saying before everything or so.
My problem is I say like all the time. I have to cut out so many likes. Like, do you want to mention your notes, sources, sources, and show notes? I was like, what are the words to this?